Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feltman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, a podcast about staying sane in a crazy tech world. This is John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feltman.
And together we are the Tech Hygiene Twins. How was your holiday, Lauren?
It was very nice.
You were very nice.
Low key, just immediate family. Santa was good to people, I hear.
Yeah.
So,
what was your complaints? What was your favorite gift?
My favorite gift was a pair of Crocs. White Crocs. White winter white.
Okay.
Winter white with gray fur.
I remember you. Didn't you wear Crocs a lot when you were like
I was ahead of the curve years ago.
I saw you at South By and you were wearing like cargo pants and Crocs.
Yeah, that was me.
You're the most famous video puppeteer there.
Yeah, way ahead of the curve with the Crocs and the puppets.
Hey, I got the new Xbox, or Santa brought the new Xbox for the kids. It's an interesting experience because they basically take over the whole thing. They're basically in complete control over it. And, I barely get to look at it, which is kind of frustrating.
Well, I spent Christmas with my sister and, not Christmas, but leading up to the holidays. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I noticed, Hanukkah, if you will.
Yep.
What I noticed is Roblox.
Roblox is big.
Giant. My niece is on that thing every second. She's not at school or doing something. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's the question. Like, how do you get them off these things? And I don't know. Like, my kids suddenly got fascinated by Sims 4 or whatever the new Sim, whatever the Sims is. I don't know what the Sims version is. And now they're playing it constantly. And my son hasn't left his computer room. Straight up, hasn't left.
Well, my sister has four kids.
Yeah.
She's the youngest girl. She, you know, and they all lead active lives, you know. I mean, gymnastic lessons, this, that, running around, friends everywhere. My sister's house is the house that you can come by and have fun at, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. The youngest, totally addicted to Roblox.
Yeah.
This 16-year-old girl. Kind of into TikTok, but not even so much into too much of it. The 13-year-old boy doesn't care about any of it. Complete jock. Doesn't care about video games. Doesn't care about his phone, really.
So that still exists. There still are jocks.
Yeah, he's a jock.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he's 13. He doesn't care about any of it. And then there's Ethan, who's 18, and he's into his phone, doesn't really care about social media at all.
So, I mean, that's an interesting thing, because I'm watching my kids. My kids are completely engrossed. And the idea that there are children out there that I have that could care less about video games or whatever is fascinating to me. That's like a flip of this traditional experience where you had the nerds who were you had the jocks who were kind of into gaming and stuff and games, I guess in the 80s and 90s, and the nerds who were really into like other stuff like D&D and everything. But now it's basically just, it's a dichotomy. It's one or the other.
I guess, I mean, he was into games for a little bit, but never crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But now he like never looks at them, always has a football in his hand, obsessed with the Green Bay Packers. You know, watching football, playing football. Him and his friends are riding bikes, throwing balls around. It's nice to see.
It's nice to see. All right. Well, maybe I gotta figure out how to pull that off with my kids.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a jockey kind of kid, loves sports. So there you go.
Anyway. All right. So our kids are playing all the video games now. I'm never going to get them off that. It's just going to be a mess.
All right.
Mm. All right. What do you think about the Apple car? You going to pick one up?
No. But I think the Apple car is going to be an Apple branded partnership.
The last time they did that with Motorola, it didn't work.
I know, but I can't imagine. I can't imagine that they're going to supply chain cars as opposed to going to Mercedes and saying, build the car, slap this stuff on it, and there you go. Much like the RV market is built on Mercedes Sprinter vans for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part. I envision something like that. I read a little bit, supposedly they have some cool battery technology that's, you know, going to be much better than current. I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt their technology. I don't think that they're going to go, you know, the psychotic Elon Musk, you know, it's completely self-driving. Any of that,
I think the future is that kind of car. I think it is all self-driving. It has to be.
I think it's driver assisted.
It's got
people like to drive.
I know, but there's going to be a point when nobody wants to drive. And in fact, you're going to hurt people by driving because all the computer.
Why?
Because people want to be on their phones. Can you imagine the situation? Like you're driving the car around and you're on your phone anyway. You're checking stuff out. You're trying to change a thing. You're on CarPlay. You're completely disconnected from the world. So why not just give people that opportunity?
See, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. I like driving. It's the think tank.
Yeah, but that's.
I don't even listen to music. I don't plug my phone in.
Yeah.
I just put my phone on the seat. I don't even turn the radio on. I just drive.
Yeah, I think it's a generational thing. I think you get a kick out of it because it gave you a sense of freedom back in the olden days.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Just as an experience unto itself.
Yeah.
Driving's interesting, and I don't find it a chore.
But as an experience, it's similar to moving.
Because I'm an old man.
No, you're
using your senses. It's just like a video game, except it's real life.
Yeah, and if you nod off or you look down at your SMS or whatever, your text, then you.
the stakes are even higher because I don't get a new car.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. But
that being said, that's a different discussion unto itself, whether it's self-driving or not.
Yeah.
Let's say it's just assisted. Apple can do a lot of cool things, can bring a lot of cool things to a car. Like, I'd like to be in control of the car, but I'd like my whole windshield to be a heads-up display. And I've read that Apple has patents. They're thinking in that kind of area where they're going to just put up giant, you know, whatever on the entire windshield. I'd like that.
But I think the question is, why do you need that information? If like, what more information do you and can you manage mentally as you're driving down the street, like whatever, 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour?
Well, I'm sure it would be changed. You would be able to set it how you want it, and it would change. I'm sure that there'd be all kinds of settings. So it wouldn't be terrible, especially if you're dealing with the whole windshield and giant font sizes and controlling it. It wouldn't be terrible to get landmark information or, you know, all kinds of stuff. I'm really not super adverse to it. I'm adverse to the self-driving. I'm not adverse to LiDAR and whatever kind of cool mapping, real world.
But imagine the situation. So you can drive. You're driving. You have a self-driving car. You're going to hop in and you're going to say, go to grandma's house. And that car, if every other car on the network is connected in the same way, that car can go 100 miles an hour without any trouble.
I know, until it can't.
Until it can't.
Until there's a software update.
Yeah, until it crashes on the road. But that's a different question. I mean, your car can crash on the road too, because your tire can pop or whatever.
I know, but listen, I'm fascinated that there's not a million car accidents a day in America. I mean, there's certainly a lot, but proportionately, it's awfully small. And I don't know. I would never want to completely turn my destiny over to a machine like that. I'm inherently uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I know they do it on planes, but I don't fly planes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so.
All right. Did you see Cyberpunk 2077?
I heard of it. I heard that they pulled it from everywhere.
Well, it's not pulled. It's still there. It's still out.
Oh, it's still there.
Yeah. If you're a complete, if you buy it on the old net, on the old systems, then yeah, you can't really get it. But if you buy it on new systems, it's fine. It works actually pretty well. Did you ever get into Cyberpunk?
I don't own a gaming system.
But did you ever get into like the concept? Did you read any William Gibson? Did you do any sci-fi stuff?
I never got into it because I don't get into anything. I'm definitely aware of it. It's mm-hmm. cool. You know, it's cool. It's smart. From what I know, it seems to be right. You know, that whole kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, so like, the idea is that you're basically in this future that's all nasty and weird and freaky, and everybody's got has got like add-ons and everything. So I'm playing the game, and the game is cinematic. So we're at the point in these games where you're basically playing a movie. And you always say that. You always like hear people say that every year, like, oh, the game is better and better and better. But this is really getting to the point where it looks like a movie. I mean, in terms of the uncanny valley is gone, like all the weirdness of the figures moving around. There are bugs, obviously, but I just think it's like I think we're getting to a point where instead of going to the movies, you're going to be playing a game like this for 2 hours, maybe maximum, and existing in this universe. And just imagine it in VR. That would be pretty cool too, because you're completely immersed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a gamer. It's never been my thing. It's obviously huge. They're pushing the limits in terms of, you know, the storytelling, but a lot of, you know, the technological devices are moving over to filmmaking.
Well, does that make you upset? Does it make you?
No, I mean, the big thing that's cool is, you know, in the old days, they'd use a green screen.
Yeah.
Right. Now they're just dropping in. You're on a virtual set via these giant screens
mm-hmm.
and using the Unreal Engine. So I actually just read an interesting article. There's a studio in downtown LA that specializes in this. And they have like 400 sets,
mm-hmm.
virtual sets. And they're perfect and gorgeous. And instead of filming, again, the actor in front of a green screen, you can just punch up whatever scene you want and do it like that. They're using it a lot in the Star Wars stuff.
I mean, at what point are you basically doing completely generated actors as well?
Well, they can do that now.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Jar Jar Binks, right? But like, I'm talking about like, I don't know.
No, they can. I mean, they can definitely do that now between the Unreal Engine and deep fake and, you know, all mm-hmm. of that stuff combined. They could definitely do that now. But it's interesting. What was that movie with Tom Hanks? Polar Express.
Yeah, Polar Express.
Where that was an early attempt at that in a way. And yeah. I forgot how they did it, but it was something weird.
It was motion capture, I believe. Yeah. So it was a lot of motion capture.
But something weird on top of his face and the way they shot him. And people didn't like it because it was kind of in between.
Yeah.
It was weird. I remember that. So,
well, that's the uncanny valley. Like you can't like that's why Pixar movies have everything else looks completely realistic except for the humans. Because if they make the human look too realistic, it doesn't look real. It looks like a corpse. That's basically our visual system sees things that don't look like humans as corpses.
Right. Exactly. So, like you're either human or you're not. There's no in between with that.
So we're not quite at that point where we can look at where we can remake Soul and make it look like Jamie Foxx and us believing that that's the thing. So you got to make him look kind of goofy and with some like big hands, big eyes, the whole cartoony thing.
Right.
Which works because we've figured out those tropes. But I mean, that's the biggest question because we're kind of in the cyberpunk world. Those characters are pretty much realistic. They're pretty much all ready to go. I mean, looking at it from Uncanny Valley standpoint, you know that they're video game characters, but they're so far out there that you can accept them as human and as like, I don't know, robots or whatever that they're connected to, that kind of thing. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's always, I think, going to be, I mean, not being super familiar with the stuff. I mean, I've seen how clear and good it is and et cetera, but there's always like, it's stylized again. They're human-esque.
Yeah.
But you know, they're not human.
But they're human enough. At what point are you going to learn how to make 3D characters? Would you ever do that as an artist?
Yes, I've actually, absolutely. I've been looking. There's millions of apps that do it, like animated characters, all that. As an artist, I'd love it. Because I can't do it by hand, but if I could do an AR, VR, it's, you know, all about what the puppet says, not what the puppet necessarily looks like. So, I'm down with it.
So is that what are your 2021 predictions?
The same. Well, the first one is the same as always, which is Linux finally comes to the desktop.
You've been hurting for that one for years? You're just wanting it?
I actually have videos when I first started making videos. Seriously, like the first year. I did a prediction thing every year.
Yeah.
You should find those, like 2006. Something crazy, you know? And one of my ongoing shticks every year was, this is the year that Linux finally comes to the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't think Linux is coming to the desktop. My predictions, Apple continues to dominate on the hardware front. Facebook gets sued, rightly so, more aggressively by the EU, continue to do nothing. Facebook continues to be an awful, awful, awful company.
Uh-huh.
Apple Car is not coming for years and years and years. I think it's, you know, we've reached, at least for the moment, as far as we're going with hardware.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't see any big hardware innovations coming around the corner. I see maybe how we interact, hopefully, being Tech Hygiene, you know, hopefully how we interact with technology. That might change a little bit. Like Facebook's not going to change. We know that. Maybe somebody just will build another Facebook and it'll do nothing but just family photos. And maybe that would work. It'd be cool and I'd be into it. But, you know, these companies aren't going to change.
Yeah.
So I don't see much going on the software end of things. I mean, hardware kind of is what it is. Phones maybe will fold or get telescopic lenses or whatever. But the wow factor is over, I think, long gone in terms of hardware.
Hmm. Yeah, so I'm thinking this. Well, I think we're going to be pretty much vaccinated by the end of the next year. I can imagine hardware. In terms of hardware, I would agree. I don't think we're going to see any good. I think we're at an interstitial phase between like hardware types, so I don't think we're going to see any changes for the next 2 years. I'd like to see more changes, but I don't think we're going to do it. I think we'll probably have some kind of Elon Musk moon landing next year.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, some kind of SpaceX thing.
I wouldn't disagree with some moon kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I support that.
You support Elon Musk going to the moon?
I don't really care if Elon Musk goes to the moon. I mean, I'd prefer it wasn't, but I don't care if it is. I don't want that knucklehead suddenly setting rules like he wants to on Mars or whatever. Yeah. But if he can get to the moon, sure, go to the moon.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering what the I'm wondering what politically we have to have in store, but I don't think we have anything in store politically. I think it's going to be just a calm freaking existence.
Well, but Biden takes over.
Yeah.
And, you know, the MAGA nuts go nuts for a little bit and I guess slowly fade and plot against him in the background. And I don't know. I mean, you would eventually, those guys got to calm down.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Eventually they have to calm down, which is a difficult thing for them to do, I think. That's my take.
Yeah, I think there's a potential for violence. I think there's an absolute potential for violence.
I think we go back to fairly regular mass shootings, which is not a nice thing to say, but I think that's where we're at.
Well, hopefully it's not going to be schools or shuls, and it'll probably be mass shootings at state capitals and stuff. Timothy McVeigh, anti-government stuff, FBI buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what this AT&T guy was doing. He was trying to destroy the 5G networks.
Right.
So
right.
Just wild.
Yeah. So you'll definitely see a lot of that anti-government stuff.
Yeah.
Which is terrible unto itself, but at least it's not directed at a people or a race. It's the man itself.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, that was a chipper downer. So we're also going to have a space cars and jetpacks, I believe.
That's what they promised us.
Yeah, limited access, but if you want a jetpack, you can get one.
Sign me up.
This has been Tech Hygiene. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And we will see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.